It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Last week we talked about sweet peppers, and today we'll move south to the lands of fun and sun for a look at the bell pepper's hot and spicy cousin. Chili peppers most likely are native to Central and South America, but were introduced into Southern Europe, Asia, and Africa at an early date. They quickly became a major element of the native foods of these continents, setting benchmarks for the spicy, fiery, and sometimes breathtaking cuisine sought by people the world over. Capsicum oils and creams are also hot sellers in the health industry. The products claim to relieve stiff, sore muscles and aging joints, and I know people who swear by them as an arthritis treatment. All chilies start out green, but when left on the plant to ripen, they will often turn red. As a general rule, green hot peppers are hotter than the reds, but then again, some of the reds can cause three-alarm fires that will leave a digestive tract smoldering. Chilies are rated in the trade for the amount of gastronomic heat they can produce. On a scale of 1 to 120, the popular jalapeno is rated a mere 15, making me wonder what tops the century mark. I'm sure some of the hot sauces and sauces that flavor Thai food would be contenders. In a world where all about me seems to be getting hotter and spicier, including the weather, what we watch, and what we wear, I find I have to go into training in order to be able to eat the typical fare at a Mexican or Asian restaurant these days. I've never been able to handle heavily seasoned food. Even while I'm writing this story, the bridge of my nose has begun to sweat, a reflex from just imagining the capsicum oils that might be released from the printed page if I'm not careful. When I'm finished, I'll probably visit the refrigerator, not in search of cold water, but cold milk or ice cream, since dairy products quell a chili pepper outbreak better than anything. I used to supplement my garden's sweet pepper plants with a few hot peppers, but wound up giving away the majority of Hungarian hot wax or bright red cayennes. A few years ago, I decided to stop growing my own and take advantage of the excellent variety of chilies available at our Hispanic grocery stores when a recipe needed that extra south-of-the-border kick. A couple of years ago, I had a bumper crop of beautiful tomatoes and bushel baskets of surplus yellow onions and bell peppers. I decided to try my hand at making salsa using a recipe from a Waco, Texas relative. It called for jalapenos, so I purchased a small amount at the store, then brought them home and looked at them for a long time. My nose started the familiar sweating, and my eyes teared up just at the sight of them. How in the world would I roast, peel, slice, and dice these tiny terrors? In the end, I called a true friend who came to my rescue as hot pepper handler while I readied the rest of the ingredients. The salsa was given thumbs-up ratings from all members of the guinea pig brigade, although some qualified their rating by calling for more jalapenos next time. And there probably will be a next time, since the garden is churning out salsa makings at an amazing rate, and a jar of homemade salsa would make a great addition to my annual Christmas garden baskets. If I can't get an answer on the chili pepper hotline for help again, I'll try some commercially prepared chilies. I saw some in small cans in the Mexican food aisle of the grocery store the other day. I'm sure they'll work just fine because as I wheeled my cart past them, my nose started to sweat.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Biorel. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.